Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. We are back to our Summer Fun Edition series, and I'm very excited about that. I'm also Jeff Gamet, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, and it is great to be here. It is Friday. That means that it's time to hang out with another group of really cool people, because we do that on Thursday. Now here it is Friday. So this is how you kick off the weekend, just with really cool people and me. So I said it's Summer of Fun edition, and we're just starting Summer of Fun for the Mac Show. So today we are going to do, just like we do on every other Summer of Fun show, we pick a single topic and we just riff and have a conversation about whatever that is. And the topic can be anything we want. And why can we do this? Because Ewan isn't here to stop us.
Yes. Yeah, but first, we're going to spend 3 hours introducing each other.
That's kind of how it rolled yesterday. Yep. So we'll see how long that takes today. Anyhow, our topic today, we're going to talk about our music setups. And Chuck, thanks for coming up with that topic. So we'll see where that takes us. I would define exactly what that means, but I don't want to limit the discussion. I don't want to put boundaries on us. So it's our music setup. Yeah. So speaking of retracted introductions, Ben, how are you?
I am great, Jeff. Happy to be here and happy to be in the middle of summer.
Ben, awesome. Ben, are you Groot?
I am Groot.
I am Groot.
I am Groot. Groot.
I am Groot.
Yes. Yes. Chuck, when you're not being Groot, how are you doing?
I've never been Groot, but it sounds like an interesting experience. So I'm doing good. Doing good. Hey, it's Friday, and I'm looking at you, delinquents. How much better can it get?
You know, I can't argue with that. Yep.
That word, right. Delinquents?
Yeah, speaking of delinquents, Dave, how are you?
I am doing good. It seems like I just saw you guys like 4 days ago. But I guess I did.
Right.
Or last night.
Or last night on Zoom. Well, Jeff missed, but.
Yeah.
I mean, in person.
Yep. So, sorry, I couldn't do the show last night. Chuck, sorry, I couldn't do Mac Voices this week.
Hey, it
was very gracious to jump in.
Not a problem. We all have that pesky real life that intrudes every so often.
Right? Why can't we all just live in a fantasy world?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Patrice, how are you? I was going to say, speaking of fantasy worlds, Patrice, how are you? But I didn't know if you take that in a good way or bad way. Hold on. Let's just try it anyhow. Speaking of fantasy worlds, Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm a Barbie girl in my Barbie world. So, like, what can I say?
Yep. I totally get it. Yeah.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm happy to be back. It's been a couple weeks. A little longer than expected, but I'm happy. What else can I say? It's really windy here, which is nice. Cold. It was actually cold yesterday. So
it's really hot here.
Yeah, like 63 degrees or something during the day.
Wow.
So that is cold for summer.
Wow.
But like half of what I think Phoenix has right now. So
it's, yeah, poor Phoenix. Mm-hmm. It is, why does that happen? There we go. Anyhow, I went to look at my menu bar weather thing, which is, it's the one that's in SetApp. Is it called Forecast?
I don't know. Probably broken. It's probably showing just too hot. Like, can't work.
I have it set up so that it shows me the current conditions, and then below that, it shows me the forecast for the day. And periodically, it just stops doing all the forecast stuff. It just shows me the current conditions.
Yeah, it's like, no, don't just forget about it. It's like,
Right. So then then I have to go through this whole thing of trying to remember how do I make it show, all the rest of the stuff. Mm-hmm. And anyhow, so I was going to tell you how hot it's going to get here today, but I don't know. It's going to be hot here today. It's going to be stupid.
I don't want to take anything away from Phoenix because they have to be miserable. But the one thing I don't think Phoenix has is the humidity.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, because they can talk about heat indexes all they want, but I still don't feel like the heat index reflects accurately the degree of discomfort you have when you have the kind of humidity we get here in central Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
At 90 degrees here can feel a lot worse than 110 in Vegas.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like, I mean, I once was in, I think in Alabama, and it was like 80 something, and it was like killed me. And I came home to Phoenix, and it was like 113 at like 7 p.m. And I was like, oh, this feels like heaven because it was so much drier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like, that's different. No, but the difference right now is like, I mean, Phoenix is used to the heat. Like, I mean, it's hot like there a lot. The difference is it is hotter than usual. It's hotter for longer than usual. And it's really actually killing people. I mean, like every year, a couple people die there because of the heat. That's, yeah, I mean, as sad as it is, expected, unfortunately. But this is out of the ordinary. So even for Phoenix.
Yeah.
And that should tell you something. If it's for Phoenix out of the ordinary, that should tell you something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There's this meme. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Like there's like a faucet and like the two sides, and one says hot, and the other side says also hot. And that's Phoenix. Like there is no cold water in Phoenix. Like in the summer, forget it.
The meme that I saw yesterday said, I'm not saying it's hot, but a couple hobbits just threw a ring in my backyard.
Yes. Yeah, I'm pretty much to the point where piranhas can live in Mississippi.
Wow. Yeah, so that's the problem.
Yeah, you're used to it being cold. Right now, you can dip your toes in the mighty mist and think you're in a hot tub.
And go down to Florida and the Gulf of Mexico and Atlantic was like 101 degrees Fahrenheit. The water temperature. Yeah.
It's like you can cook your pasta in seawater. Like just throw it in.
You don't even have to.
It's already salted. It's already salted everything. Just throw it in.
Yeah.
It's brilliant and scary.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, music. That's Let's talk topic about something today.
Brilliant. Yes. I mean, kind of we should start off. I mean, we want to talk about our setups, but I think we should. I want to mention Sinead O'Connor because she died yesterday.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, since we're talking music, she was massively influential. I mean, for me at least. Because
I grew up in that I'm with you. Time. I remember just being absolutely fascinated and enthralled with her music back in the 80s.
Yeah. Well, yeah, 80s, more 90s.
And
more 90s.
Well, I mean, more 90s. Yeah, when she started to become really popular, that would have started in the 80s, but then went into the 90s. Am I remembering correctly?
I think like early 90s was when she was really popular. Yeah,
it all blends together after a while. Anyhow, even before she was really popular, when she was just kind of rising up, I came across some of her music and it was just entrancing. And I loved how there was just this wide range of styles that she could give us, and she owned every one of them. And she was badass. She was not afraid to speak her mind and openly show her convictions. And I remember reading an article, this is a long time ago, where she was being asked about the impact her vocal beliefs were. Just what that was what impact that was having on her career, and the loss of potential album deals,
mm-hmm.
and she said, yeah, this has had a big impact. Because something to the effect of, because now there's those guys at the record labels that weren't able to or decided they didn't want to make these albums, and so they missed out on another yacht.
Mm-hmm. That's actually, yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but I mean, she like at a time, especially when a lot of women were not like presenting them, like not saying what they were thinking and not speaking up, because I mean, that had pretty significant negative impacts on their careers and their life sometimes. She didn't care. She was like, okay, I'm me, I'm saying what I'm thinking, and F them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And how many people could cover a Prince song and do it better than Prince?
Very few.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just and that's saying a lot, because because Prince was on a level all his own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, back then at least.
Yeah. Well, that, see, that was also back when we consumed our music differently.
Mm-hmm.
Because yep. we didn't have streaming options, and we didn't nope. we didn't have the ability to really focus in on what it is that we personally want. Just like very well, we could, but
we, I mean, yeah, but I mean, there was
not
something
like today, because
definitely
back then,
not like today. Yeah.
We were consuming a lot of our music through radio, which means right. that everyone got to listen to the same things,
mm-hmm.
which means that there were more people listening to any specific piece than we have today.
Yeah, and I mean, the radio DJs were hugely influential because of that, because they decided what people would hear. I mean, yeah, you could buy the albums, or like, I don't know, go to a club or a concert or something, but like how people discovered music was mostly through radio. And like mm-hmm. I said, the DJs decided, like, and that's, I mean, like quite a few like well-known singers had breakthroughs because some radio DJ mm-hmm. somewhere heard them and said, hey, this is actually quite good. I mean, Will Smith comes to mind for me. And like, hey, this is actually quite cool and interesting, and I'm going to play that. And then others discovered it, and that's how it snowballed. That's how it started. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the risk of sounding whatever it is I'm sounding, you know, it also meant that things were very much directed. And now, you know, I start to wonder if some of that direction, that steering maybe is a better way to say it, that steering is not occurring through some of the curated playlists and all, and what is fed to us. And well, we'll get into this hopefully in the discussion about music, but I just feel like there's still a lot of people that just turn on whatever music service it is and say, here, I like this genre, hit, you know, play something.
Or YouTube. I mean, it doesn't matter. Or, like whatever stream service it is, you go there. I mean, a lot of, I know a bunch of people, I think, especially younger, like they just turn on something, a playlist or something, and just keep it going.
It still applies to radio, but instead of having a DJ in one market who's discovering one artist, a DJ in another market discovering someone else, and eventually they cross-pollinate, it's all homogenized. And it's basically
even radio
what iHeartRadio wants you to hear, because it, in the United States, they essentially set the playlist for the entire country.
Yeah. I mean, most radio stations these days don't have DJs anymore. Like, it's all the same. Like, it doesn't matter what local radio station you're listening to. It's really just coming from one place. And that's actually true in most of the world.
All right. So the iHeartRadio model is outside the United States as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of sad.
And that's where it makes, you know, you lose a local flavor. You use at least a little bit of influence that DJs did have. Until, you know, the big, you know, the record companies kind of pushed in and took things over. And so, you know, I have to, at some point, I can't help but wonder, okay, what's going on behind the scenes to steer folks to whatever. If I say I like genre X, then, you know, and hit that randomized playlist, is there really an algorithm, or is it, because it seems kind of coincidental to me that you don't hear anything in genre X from the late 80s, late, you know, then the early 90s, the late 90s, you know, it always seems to be kind of the new stuff. If you listen long enough, something old will pop up. But at the end of the day, I'm being fed all the new stuff. Now, is that what I want? It depends. Maybe it's okay. But again, it brings up the question of who is trying to shape our musical tastes and sell us the artists.
I would actually say this. I think it's actually most streaming services the opposite. You get a lot of the old stuff and not a lot of the new. And there is a very simple reason for that. Because, and that's your something. You say that, and when I make my argument, you're gonna, I think, regret that. The older we get, the more we want to listen, and that's, it's not for everybody. It's not like everybody the same, but for most people, that seems to be true. The more we want to listen to the things that we grew up with, and the less we're interested in new things. And services know that.
Patrice, so would agree. Yeah. I'll agree with that, except that if I go to a genre that I don't like and never pay attention to and couldn't care less if it was wiped from the planet and hit randomize it, I get new stuff. I don't get any stuff. And yet the service knows it's me that's clicking on that. So if your theory were to hold, I would theoretically get pushed stuff, older stuff. And it never, never happens.
So, but that is a question of what is that platform targeting? Or who is that platform targeting? Is it targeting younger people who want to hear a lot of new things, or older people who want to listen to the same thing? And I think most streaming services these days are still more targeting younger generations.
Younger.
And I agree
and
with
you're
that,
the exception probably to that.
Well, no, but if that was the case, then you would think that it would start. Well, okay, I see what you're saying. But
if it was smart enough to learn that you, like, what you want is like a certain thing, then it should do it differently. But it's not like that currently.
Or it's either not smart enough, or you use the word targeting, and that's what I start to question. And it's one reason I very, 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 very seldom listen to anybody else's curated playlist. I'll curate my own, thank you, from the library I already have, plus all the library that now is accessible to me through my music service of choice.
Chuck, I am totally opposite on you on
me too.
The curated playlist thing. Yeah, absolutely love telling my HomePod to play my friend's mix because of all of the Apple Music friends shared playlists that I've subscribed to.
Me too.
And I get such an interesting mix of music. And a lot of times I'm listening to stuff that I know and I like. And occasionally I'll get exposed to something that I hadn't heard before.
Right.
And I may like it, I may not, but to me it's exciting in that I just got exposed to something that I didn't know about. And sometimes it's someone or a group that's new. Sometimes it's an artist or a group that's been around for a really long time and just somehow went under my radar.
Jeff, I kind of agree with you. Because but you're talking about using somebody else's. Let's just say I decide to subscribe to David's playlist. That's curated by him. All right. That's not curated by something targeted. So that's a whole different animal than the lists that are delivered by the services. So yes, I will do something like that. After our pre-show discussion with Patrice singing Barbie, I'm not sure I'll subscribe to
that. I missed that. Oh, man, I'm sad now.
Yeah, Dave, you need to show up earlier.
Yeah, really.
But this thing called work gets in the way.
I can absolutely appreciate that.
Yeah. But that said, that's a different thing. then I would listen to potentially listen to something like that. But the delivered playlist, the only exception for me still after all these years is Pandora. Pandora still, if I feed it an artist or two or three in a channel, it will surface things that are not that are deep cuts from artists that I've never heard of that really fit. And I've discovered new music through that. I'm sorry, but that never happens on any of the other services.
For me, it does. And I'm on the opposite. I love the Friends mix. Same thing with, I think, do I follow you, Jeff? I have to check.
I'd have to check.
Same thing. Like it's I definitely do follow you. I know that, Dave.
Follow me, okay.
Yeah, I do. Right. But it's like, I mean, that one I love, but I really, like, I don't listen to a lot of music, but when I do, is usually either the, like, New Music Daily, or it's one of the other generated lists from Apple, like the curated ones. Because for me, I mean, I've listened to the old stuff a lot, and I'm like, yeah, every now and then, I mean, if, like, I'm in the mood to listen to, like, a certain artist or certain song, whatever, and I'll do that. But for the most part, I'm interested in new stuff. Like, the old stuff is boring. I've listened to it a million times. Like, I want something new. And both the Friends and the generated ones, like, they do that for me.
I'm sitting here looking through my my followers and following Friends playlists and just making sure that I haven't missed anyone.
I am following you.
Well, I never can remember where to go when you... In Apple Music.
Okay, so this is stupid. If you want to look at your playlists or who you're following in Apple Music, it's not obvious. You have to click on your account avatar in the upper right hand corner of the Apple or the iTunes. No, God, the music app window. I'm looking on my Mac right now, but it's the same on iOS. Find your little avatar and click on that. So Dave,
and then tap on your profile, like it shows on the top, and then you will see your followers. It's well hidden, I think.
It's horribly well hidden. Dave, I'm following you. Chuck, I'm following you.
I'm definitely following you.
And Patrice, I'm following you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm following Ken, for example. Also fun. Yep. Brett, like Terpstra.
Yep.
Drink.
And so, okay, now I'm looking at who's following me just to make sure I'm not missing anyone that I want to be following from here. Anyhow, this is interesting. There are people following me where I'm not sure who they are.
Yeah, that's kind of the point.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, if this was stuff where I really didn't want people listening, why would I have shared this?
Exactly. I mean, if you're listening to speed metal every night and you don't want people to know, then maybe you should.
Then don't share that list.
Exactly.
Yeah, why would you not want people to know that you have great taste?
Yeah, exactly, Ben.
Maybe you're concerned that there'd be a lot of pressure on you to make sure everyone else has the highest quality music all the time. And you're concerned, what if all of my 5-star songs, one 4.5 star gets mixed in? That will ruin my reputation.
Not really.
I'm speed metal. I don't care about my reputation.
You know what? I can't argue with that logic.
That's so true. With That's you, the yeah, most yeah. metal yeah. logic you can have.
Yeah. Metal people don't give an F.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So everybody else is. Ben, do you agree with? I'm just throwing this out. Just rolling a grenade in the room to see what happens. Do you agree with me that the whole metal community and the hard rock community just are not interested in being politically correct?
Yeah. On any side of the political spectrum.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this checks out.
Dude, that didn't get nearly the reaction I was hoping.
No, but you're right, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, but if, I mean, if you want, I will argue with you, but I will be posing as an arguer.
Yeah,
Let's talk about the services again.
Yeah, I like genuine Jeff Gamet arguments. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
you know, those are a lot more fun.
I mean, we talked about that, like music is consumed or was consumed differently than it is today, and I mean that's totally true. I mean, I remember recording stuff off the radio to like cassette tapes or like
I had one of those tapes off the radio.
Yeah, exactly. Or I had like one of those like the cassette decks with like two slots that like you copy a cassette from a friend to me and stuff like that. Yeah, that's how I started. And then like CDs came around and I bought like I think the first CD I bought was Backstreet Boys. I think Backstreet Mac might have been.
Bon Jovi was my first one.
Dark Side of the Moon. I bought it with my CD player. There was a store in the mall that it was a music store and it was one of the only places that sold CD players. So it was like the first or second year you could actually get a CD player. And so I went into the store, bought it was a massive box, the CD player, because they were back then.
Yep.
And they had this small little box, essentially, that had like 20 CDs in it. And that was the entire inventory they had, which was a substantial portion of the available CDs at that time. And I'm looking through and Dark Side of the Moon was one of them. And I'm like, well, there we go. How can I not have that? But it wasn't mastered for the medium is mastered for vinyl, so it didn't sound nearly as good as I was hoping.
Yeah, my first CD was Queen's Greatest Hits Part 2.
That's a good first CD.
Part 2.
I had Part 1 on cassette.
Oh, okay, that's why.
Yeah, so in other words, I was listening to Part 2 while I was rolling up Part 1 with a pencil.
Oh yeah, good times.
Oh yeah.
It's funny how you actually do remember. My first CD was Cheap Trick's Heaven Tonight.
See, another good pick.
Yeah,
which is ironic because I'm actually going to see Rick Nielsen's son play tonight.
Oh really?
Well, that's cool. So we all had really good picks for our first CDs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, but Jeff, to your point, I distinctly remember that CD not sounding as good as I thought it should, and it was the mastering, because eventually I got a properly mastered version, and it sounded phenomenal. So yeah, it was like, this is what all the hype is about. You know, it's like, okay, at least there are no scratches, and it doesn't skip or anything. But you know, I was kind of hoping for more.
Yeah, but when you got that version mastered for the format you were listening in, changed everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Plus
you couldn't have it melt if you forgot to take it out of the player.
That's true.
Yeah, there's that.
Or taking it out and the tape just goes everywhere.
which may or may not have happened to me with vinyl.
Had a few of those myself, man. Yeah.
Speaking of vinyl, can you remember their first vinyl record? I can remember it.
I can't, because it was all my father and stepfather's collections.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before my time. Yeah,
same.
So, my parents had like classical music on vinyl, and my mom still has them to this day.
Yeah. So, I can remember the parents, Johnny Rivers and the Beatles' Abbey Road.
Yeah. I mean, I can remember the oldest one that was in my collection, which was an original run copy of the White Album.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Nice.
My very first vinyl was Deep Purple's Fireball.
Nice.
My actual very first was a Kiss Alive 2.
Two?
Yeah, I was younger. didn't get into records till when Alive 2 came out.
Yeah,
I think I'm old.
I don't remember. I'm really trying, but I don't remember.
I'm old.
But my first
album. I was going to say vinyl was around like during the 30s.
Now that I got all these 78s here, I can go really old if I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I have to ask, why do you have 78s?
Because it was someone who passed away, and I just grabbed them recently. I remember I showed them to you before. I'm not going to grab. Don't worry.
He always turns around and then grabs something.
Okay, the awesome box. You're safe. I know exactly where Dave is looking right now.
Yeah, because he was here
in his office the other day.
Yeah, oh. If you walked in, you saw the stack with the two boxes that were next to my desk. It's in that box below.
I consider myself one of the few, the elite, that has been allowed to enter Dave's inner sanctum. And so I treated it with the reverence it deserved.
Yes, you did.
Wait, you're an elite? So you're actually a humanoid whale sitting at an Experia hotel?
Yeah. What? You know, the worst part, though, was when I realized I was just falling through the sky and turned into a potted plant again.
Again.
I honestly believe if we said, Dave, do you have a salami sandwich there? He could reach around and just pull one right out.
Wait.
Yeah,
I'll go with a Mac stock bug. How's that?
Actually, that nice sandwich idea sounds pretty good right now.
It does.
Well, I want to hear about everyone's setups. All right, I'll go first.
Okay, you go.
Okay, so if I'm just playing music generally around my place, it's probably just the single HomePod, original HomePod in the living room, just so that I'm covering as much space as possible with the sound. But when I'm really focused on music, I'm probably sitting here at my desk. And so I have Audio Engine A5 Plus speakers sitting here, just like Chuck does behind him. And then those are connected to my external DAC. The one I'm using right now is the Shit Modi 3 Plus. And so that lets me listen to my high-res audio files at the quality that they were mastered for. And then that just plugs into my Mac. So I'm bypassing the audio hardware that's built into my Mac to have much higher quality. And so then I have all of my digital files in whatever lossless format is appropriate for wherever I was getting them. So that's the short rundown of my audio setup. Now, if I'm on the go, I'm using the iFi Hip DAC and Ear Candy. I forgot the model number. It's a discontinued Ear Candy in-ear headphone set that Dave looked up when we were at Mac Stock, and it was what, like, used or going for, you saw it was like $20,000. My $350.
You wanted to buy one and put in
headphones.
Yeah. There's some, I had, that had to have been error.
But I agree. It had to have been an error. I mean, they're really good. And since they're not available good, and people really like them, I mean, I could imagine someone going crazy and spending $700 on them. Yeah. But $20,000 seems a bit insane.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it,
especially since I'm used to seeing Ear Candy on the end caps at Best Buy.
Are you talking about Ear Candy or Skull Candy?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm totally mixing up my brands. No, these are AudioFly.
Oh.
Ah.
Which okay.
Yeah, there we go. I don't know why I said Ear Candy, because I actually don't own any Ear Candy products. But yeah, I just look, I even still have the original metal container that they come in. And yes, they are in here. So yeah, these are AudioFly.
You don't have a model number, do you, Jeff?
I do, but hold on. Let me I have to go to my notes from doing my presentation.
Well, while you're doing that, I can tell you there is an AutoFly model on Amazon that, let's see, It's sold by Visit the AudioFly for AudioFly store. So yeah, $836.59.
Oh, well, maybe I paid more than $350 for these. Hold on. Actually, it's funny. I cannot remember. There it is. AudioFly AF78.
That was it. Those were
I had
long
to open
gone.
My keynote presentation to find it.
Yeah, you, so, won't find out, you won't find out. I Googled that, and that's how I found that Tech Hive article from 2013.
Interesting. Interesting.
So my audio setup looks like this. My AirPods Pro. Mm-hmm. And I have Mac Minis all over the house. That's it. Yep. I'm not as fancy as Jeff.
This is years of building and refining my audio setup, and I do have my what I will now refer to as my crappy defective AirPods Pro, for when I'm out and about. Which sound totally fine except for the crackle part, but the whole setup that I laid out for you, that everything is wired so that I can do high res audio.
Yeah, I simply don't care enough about that. I mean, I honestly don't listen that much to music. I listen to a lot of audiobooks, a lot of podcasts and stuff. I mean, you don't need high-res audio or anything like that.
No. And, and even if the music you're listening to, you're not listening to it in high-res, but it sounds good to you and you're happy with it, that's all that matters. So you don't need to spend stupid amounts of money on in-ear headphones like this, or the big speakers and an external DAC, or in my case multiple external DACs. And
you can still spend ridiculous amounts of money on AirPods Pro and HomePods,
right?
Like that.
Spend the money on what's going to make you happy.
Exactly.
Yeah,
well, my audio setup here, I've got two AirPod HomePods up above me here. Jeff might have saw that.
I did see those.
And then the Sonos Move below me here, which that was a freebie from my 20th anniversary work, so I didn't spend any money on that. And then, of course, Jeff and I went downstairs and nerded out and watched the entire two episodes of Stranger Worlds this past Monday.
And that was so cool.
And it was had my home theater down there, Onkyo Home Theater, with a nice setup for that. So there's another place I can listen to music.
All right, I'll jump in. Jeff corrupted me somewhere along the way with the Audio Engine A5s and the Shift Modi. I'm trying to
blame Jeff.
Well, I am, but I'm trying to get back at him by convincing him to add the sub that goes with the A5s, because it really does give it another dimension.
It'll happen one day.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time.
Yes.
In the living room, I have two of the original HomePods, and then I have a HomePod Mini in the kitchen. I have obviously the AirPods, and the one other thing though that is like essential that gets a crazy amount of use is I have a couple of JBL Flips. One that pretty much lives in the bathroom for the shower, and then the other one that just can go wherever I want it to go, whether it's another room in the house or outside, back in the backyard or whatever. That is still, I know that there are a lot of great Bluetooth speakers out there. I will still take the Flip anywhere from the 3 up. They sound great. The obviously the newer ones sound a little better because they've refined the engineering, but they're still my picks.
See, all good stuff. And I like that we already have a range of gear, and all of it, as long as it works for us and makes us happy, it's all perfectly acceptable. Yep. All right, Ben, your turn.
Okay, my turn.
Do I need to put on a helmet, goggles, and seatbelt?
Okay, let's talk about my
brace frame pack.
Now we're talking.
For the people listening and not watching, like Ben just changed the background with like massive speakers.
Two, four.
That's on a stage.
Yeah, that's a, like a stage setup.
Eight head units. What is that? How many is that? Eight head units and eight cabinets.
Yeah, that'd be 10 head units.
10.
Let's see, 10 4x12 cabs. Yep. One of them is actually active because this much would actually blow you off the stage.
Yep, like literally blow you off the stage.
Yes.
So for all our listeners in Wisconsin, you don't have to buy anything because you'll just be listening to whatever Ben is listening to.
Yes, and Illinois. Maybe Minnesota and Missouri. But
and Portugal.
Yep. So this is not going to be the thing that you think. I was going to make this joke where I would just run down my gear. Nah. I'm going to do the stuff I actually listen to. If I was half the audiophile that I claim to be, I would be listening with these. They are my Blue MoFi.
Okay.
These are basically reference quality. Mm-hmm. They have a internal amplifier in them to make them even louder. These are the best headphones I have and will ever seek to own. However, I rarely actually use them because they're heavy. I have TMJ and it, well, they hurt.
But they do sound really good. Blue MoFi is really nice.
Yeah, they, I mean, literally, I use those during my entire career, Geekbeat. They will pick up the slightest difference in sound.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I actually using right now? Well, if I'm walking, I am using these.
And those are Beats, right?
Yep, those are my Beats Fit Pro. These are the highest end Beats that are currently made as far as in-ears go. They are built on the same H1 chip as the first generation AirPods Pro. Mm-hmm. No crackle.
Mm-hmm.
They are fantastic sounding earbuds. And because I bought the aftermarket memory foam inserts, they are also the first ones that I have been able to wear for long periods of time with my famously oversensitive ears.
Nice.
That said, I mean, you still do feel a little bit of pressure because they're in ears. What I listen to when I'm in the house. You may have seen these recently on an episode of Mac Voices with Chuck Joyner. These are my Beats Solo Pro.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Lightweight, look great, sound great, comfortable as hell. The only reason I am actually planning to sell these and upgrade is because of this. Hopefully you guys can see it. This is the famously short and very proprietary Lightning to 3.5 millimeter cable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Apple, in their infinite wisdom, did not decide.
Or the opposite of wisdom.
Yes. did not decide to make this available for any kind of third party to make. It is too short. It is expensive. Too easy to lose. This is actually my second one. I can't, mm-hmm. I have no idea where the black one is. And it works on two headphones. These which I got at a fantastic price because they discontinued them way too soon because nobody wanted to deal with the freaking cable and the AirPods Max. They will eventually be replaced by the brand new Beats Solo Pro, because after many years of being the guy who made fun of Beats, after being owned by Apple, they sound pretty good.
Yeah, fully agree. Yep. Both quality wise, not great. The experience I've had with them is they fall apart after like 2 or 3 years.
Oh no, both of mine are perfect. Okay,
I've had problems with them.
Yeah, these are like 3 years old now. The only reason I've ever stopped using one, is because my nephew stole it.
Oh, darn those kids.
Yes, I rather like those Solo 3s. That said, I like these better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I'm actually in a position where I can listen to music on speakers, I have a pair of HomePod Minis.
I really like my HomePod Minis. I have a pair in my bedroom, and the sound is surprisingly good. But I mean, a single one is good, but when you put two together, it's surprisingly good.
Yeah, they allowed me to get rid of all my Sonos gear.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I wish they had was a home base mini.
Oh yeah, I want one now. Thanks for that.
Yeah. But and how about Apple? A home sound micro or whatever. Just give me a sound bar.
I'd be okay with a sound bar too. The sound bar on my TV is a Polk. I forgot the model name, but it's the one that has an Echo built into it.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're in the Apple ecosystem, they are absolutely phenomenal little speakers. I actually use them for the main sound on my TV. They're not depreciably louder, but they are of significantly better quality sound.
Yep, those are good.
And I mean, my Hisense does not have bad sound to begin with.
Nice. All right, so
you know what's also nice?
TSO host.
Seriously? You totally just All right. So what Patrice said, because that's exactly where I was going. Yeah. Yeah. All right. You know what? Instead of being upset, I'm proud of you. Because you are now so good, all of you are so good at picking up on what my transitions are going to be that you can actually anticipate when I'm about to do it and what I'm about to say. It just being able to anticipate like that is fantastic, much like TSO host does with our needs. See, now you got a double transition.
Yep. Jeff just got run over by a Segway, just like Usain Bolt.
All right, here's the deal. TSO host rocks, and the reason they rock is because they're making sure we have everything we need to be able to live stream shows to you every single week. They're giving us that bandwidth we need so that the live streams can happen. They're giving us the hosting space we need so there's a place for the website to live. They're giving us the server space we need to host all of the recordings so you can watch or listen to shows at your leisure. What is going on behind me? Are you guys okay? Are you okay back there? What was going on? What sounded like something exploded?
I see some flashing lights.
Oh my God. Oh, okay. Yes. Well, as long as you're okay. Anyhow,
are the cops there?
No, apparently it's just the sink. And since my parents are here right now. Anyhow, where
your
was
sink
I?
Blew up?
They're just running water in the sink. It just sounded like an explosion for a second. Anyhow,
ad read
for a second.
Anyhow, where was I? Oh, yeah, the hosting. If whenever you want to watch or listen to show recordings at your leisure, we make that possible because TSO Host makes that possible because they gave us the hosting space for all that. So how can they do that? Because it's what TSO Host does. They're a web hosting service, and they provide top-notch service and quality. And if you need a reliable hosting service and one that makes it easy to buy domains, there you go. So what can we do to show our support for them? Just go out on social media and thank TSO Host for being here. And that's it. Super easy to do. And letting them know that we all appreciate what they're doing is really good, because it lets them know we do actually appreciate what they're doing. And it's nice for them to have a little validation that people are aware that they're out here and they're giving back to the community. So please give them a little online love. When you're ready to start buying some domains, well, you already know they're good. Why not use them for that? Just go to their website. They make it super easy to get your domain order taken care of. Add in your web hosting. If you need to host a website to go with that domain, get it all in your cart. Then add the discount code BTN20, and they're going to give you 20% off your order, which is just absolutely awesome. And you know why they do that? Because you're part of the BTN family, which is pretty cool. So thank you to TSO Host for being here and supporting us. And now, Patrice, would you please tell people where they can find the chat?
Of course I would. So we have a really awesome live chat. If you are listening to this live, which you can do, you can listen to us live recording this, so you get the whole pre-show and post-show stuff and everything, get the full experience. All you have to do is join us Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time, for the Mac show, and also Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show, when you're into the non-Apple side of things. Like, I don't know, usually we talk about space tech and cars and chips and Android and Windows and gaming and literally anything. Yeah, that sometimes too, but barely. You can just head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com. And you're in. Like, that's how easy it is. Like, nothing, no signups, anything. You just say, I want to join the live chat. You're in. And if you're listening to this in the recorded form, which Jeff just explained, like, thanks to TSO Host, we can do, which is totally fine. Like, that's what podcasts are for. Whether you're using, I don't know, Spotify or our website or Apple Podcast or whatever podcast app you prefer using, you can still get to the chat transcript. Live chat doesn't work that way. Like, it's not time travel, but you can at least still see what we've talked about, all the links and stuff. And in order to do that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a calendar that pops up. You have to put a select date, and you select today's date as we're recording this, or the recording date of this show, which is the 28th of July, 2023. July 28th, 2023. And if you do that, you will see literally everything that we've talked about.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. You rock.
You're welcome.
All right, so we're getting close on time. And since we all just rattled off a ton of really cool stuff that people can add to their own music listening or podcast listening experience, I'm going to call it and say we just did our cool things as well.
Yep.
And with that, Chuck, you look like you really, really want to say something.
Yeah, I really do, because I think that we have omitted one key thing from our setups. Mm-hmm. And if we can go around real quick, and that is, we're listening to music. Where are we getting our music? Which services, or what is your individual music library storage and delivery system look like?
That's a really good question. All right, Chuck, so, you came up with the idea. You're on the spot.
It's not a spot. The reason I guess I'm interested is, first of all, Apple Music is my service of choice. But as you might expect, I have a fairly large library, legacy library, that you know, a lot of which was ripped from CD at one point or another. And I've upgraded those through Napster. Apple. No, not Napster. Thank you, David. And I still, you know, you still do, because there are some bands that still sell things at the live shows. And believe it or not, some of those may not be on Apple Music or any of the other services. Yep. So I will buy those, rip them into my library. I have used, Apple's matching service to make sure
that iTunes Match.
Yeah, thank you. iTunes Match, mm-hmm. Couldn't say it. That gives me the best quality that I can get, because some of my rips are that old that they probably weren't as good as they could be. And then I keep my music library, those are stored on a completely separate OWC hard drive or RAID, so that it's a two bay RAID, so that it's backed up, so that I have, you know, not just one point of failure. And then, of course, I also have other backups of my music, but that's sort of my working system that I use. And I'm curious to see that what other services you all use, or what other options that you might have that are better than what I've come up with.
Yeah, I can go. I also use Apple Music as my primary mm-hmm. source of music. I too, like you, Chuck, had lots of music ripped over the years, and I actually keep them on an SSD, like one of these, like these SanDisk, and then I have a backup of it. So I just keep the library on there all the time at all times, and it's all backed up. I'm kind of a Billboard junkie, so I have playlists in my music library. I have every Billboard chart from 1950 all the way to 2023, and just put those all together. And over the years, and those are kind of fun to go back and listen to. And having that, but I also have YouTube Music as another fallback, because since it's part of Premium, so I'm a subscriber, as well as some SiriusXM subscriber, and they've got tons of great places to listen to music on their channels, you know, with all the genres that are out there too. So I'm quite musical when it comes to the services, but yeah, primarily, Apple Music is obviously the place to go, since it's on our iPhones and iPads.
I'll jump in with my boring setup, because I have Apple Music, and I think I have a legacy database of songs I bought on iTunes, because I jumped in on iTunes the second I could.
Yeah.
So I have that, but I never use them. I just use Apple Music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no sense really to go back to them. I mean, mm-hmm. it's kind of fun being nostalgic, and you know, there's mm-hmm. times I've gone back. So just like when I time to time pull out the vinyl and listen to some of the music that's on there. Well, I mean, I don't do it very often, but I still have my big pile of them in that closet. But yeah, you get nostalgic with that stuff. But yeah, Apple Music, same for me, primary.
You mean the serving trays you have?
Yeah.
All right, so my setup for all of that is Apple Music is my primary place for getting my music, mostly streaming. I do buy content off Apple Music, which baffles some people, because they think, well, you're just paying to stream. Why would you pay to buy something separately? And that's because sometimes I just really want to own a copy of the music as well. Like Chuck, I have a legacy collection of CDs, and I'm still buying new CDs. When I go to a show and the band has their merch table set up, I will go buy their albums, because that's how you actually give them real money, as opposed to streaming or buying digital versions of their music. Then I come home and rip that. I still have a super drive tucked away, so I can do that. So then it lives in my iTunes library, which is an external drive. I think it's a SanDisk. And then I also duplicate my iTunes library to another drive, which is connected to a Raspberry Pi that's running as a Plex server. So I can listen to my music from anywhere. And actually that's made it possible for me to play that entire library from my Apple TV through the big sound bar with the subwoofer. So if I want to have a large stereo sound in my place, I will play from my music library on the Plex through the Apple TV.
And who suggested that to you? This guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Patrice, you are totally to blame. But it was a great opportunity for me to take one of my Raspberry Pis and learn how to turn it into a Plex server. And it works great. So I blame you in a totally good way.
I think we have our setups.
Except for Ben.
Oh, yes, Ben, except for me. Sorry. Yeah. I thought you had already.
Oh, wait, I forgot. I do buy music sometimes off Cobuz and HD Tracks, so I can buy high-res music, which you're not buying high-res off of the iTunes store, or at least not that level of high-res. Okay, Ben, your turn.
Yep, so mine has become almost entirely Apple Music. The small little bands locally, getting on Apple with modern tools is so easy that everybody is on Apple Music, which has allowed me, ironically, to considerably cut down the size of the storage space I'm using on my Mac. For music discovery, both my local rock stations have their own apps.
Oh,
so cool. I can just listen to those live. And I'm actually able to listen to them on the Mac here with CarPlay. And they also both have CarPlay support. So.
Nice.
It's all good for me.
Awesome. Chuck, thank you for bringing that up, because that was something we did need to go over. So thank you.
Yeah, I'm just always interested. I mean, on Mac Voices Live, we've talked a lot about the Spotify issues that seem to be happening. And, you know, there are other streaming services out there. And so I'm just always curious as to who's picking what and why, and whether the fact that we are all Apple users really makes a significant difference as to our selections.
Yeah.
Notice no one's mentioned Spotify. No one uses it.
Yeah. I do have a couple friends that use Spotify, because like Pandora, you can give it an artist, a couple artists, and it can give you a much deeper dive into what it comes up with than Apple Music does. And they like the features in the collaborative playlist thing. And for them, that's enough to keep them on Spotify. Totally get it.
Yep.
All right. So now that Chuck is done delaying us in a totally good way, Ben, where can people find you?
Well, Jeff, you can find me on your social media of choice, all 17,000 of them, at Ben Rathig. You can find my thoughts in tech and other things at my website, rathig.tech. You can find me Tuesday nights on Mac Voices with this Chuck Joyner guy. I don't know. Maybe I see him somewhere. I also have a 33-minute interview with Chuck this week about that article I wrote like 6 months ago.
Nice. You know, this is how you keep it fresh. Write it, wait a while, and then talk about it so now more people go find it.
Yes, I blame Mac Stock.
Mac Stock. Mac Stock was the reason, but just to be clear, the article is not irrelevant. If anything, it may be getting more relevant as we go along. Mm-hmm. So that was why, I apologize to Ben. We put it in the can and it just didn't get published because of Mac Stock. And it's like, yeah, it'll get out there because I've said this a few times, and I'm not going to say what statement Ben made, but Ben really slapped me in the face with a statement that made me think. And if you want to know what that is, you got to go listen to the interview.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Turn. Go to Mac Voices for your verbal violence.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. You can also find my verbal violence on Thursday nights in Touch of iOS with Mr. David Ginsberg. And of course, Thursday and Friday here. If you're listening to this, you obviously know where to find the British Tech Network.
That seems like a reasonable assumption.
Yes.
Yes. Awesome. All right, Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you can find everything, including Ben's interview and what he surprised me with. And every once in a while, you get a guest that really hits you with something brand new and makes you rethink things. And Ben was one of those. We do Mac Voices Live Tuesday nights with pretty much members of this crew as they phase in and out, depending on time zones and availability. That's 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are, at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And on pretty much all the socials Ben's on, I'm on too, as at Chuck Joyner. You can find me
there. Yeah, I get him on the socials.
Yeah, Ben's my dealer when it comes to social networks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, you want a Threads?
you want a Blue Sky invite?
Yeah. All right. Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. Go back to listen to episode 263. We had an absolute blast doing in live in person. Hadn't done it in a long time. It was Jeff. It was Chuck. It was me. It was Brittany Smith. We were sitting lakeside. So take a listen to that episode. I have a new one coming out by the time you probably listen to this as well. YouTube channel is youtube.com/intouchwithios. I am on social media, mostly at DaveG65, Mastodon, Threads, everywhere. You pretty much can find me anywhere. Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights and here on Fridays. Thanks.
Awesome. And recording at the lake house, that was so cool. That was a lot of fun.
It was.
Yeah. All right, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I'm here every week. On the Mac Show on Fridays, on the Big Show on Thursdays. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the projects, the podcasts, literally everything, you can find on my website, thepatrice.com. And let's pimp my Mastodon instance, because why not? If you are looking for a friendly Mastodon instance, you're like one of the big ones, or you haven't signed up yet, you're like, I don't know. I have my own. It's invite only, so it's an exclusive club. But since you're listening to this, you can get an invite. Just reach out to one of us and we'll organize that for you. And it is at techhangout.social.
Awesome.
Patrice, yep. did you just say your Mastodon instance is for pimps? Is that what I heard?
Yes. well, obviously, she let me in.
Yeah, true.
I mean, I've seen Chuck and Dave in that as well.
Me too.
That big feather in his hat, walking down the street.
Oh
yep. Yes, you do have to show proof of the fur coat, though.
Yeah, the cane that cane Chuck has
a white fur coat.
Well, pink is fine too.
Swinging the big chain. Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I mean, watching Chuck walk down the street like that, I just can't help but say, "There goes
Dolomite." Oh my god!
Yeah, I mean, Flavor Flav envies all the gold chains.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Well, Chuck's his role model. Did you know that?
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, now that I say it, you can't unsee it. It's just there.
Oh, you're giving me some bad.
Yeah,
vision.
Boys.
Mr. T and I are best buds. Yeah.
I'm pitiful.
Oh yeah. Totally. All right. I guess it's my turn. Okay. Yes. So on the social medias, Jay Gamut, basically everywhere. I'm most active right now on Mastodon and Instagram. And for shows, here we go. Most Tuesdays on Mac Voices Live, because Chuck keeps letting me back on. Most Thursdays on In Touch with iOS, because Dave also keeps letting me back on. Then also on Thursdays here on the British Tech Network for the Big Show, then back again here on Fridays for the Mac Show. And then also Brian Chaffin and I record the Context Machine. And then occasionally I end up on someone else's show too. So there you go. I am easy to find. And with that, thank you so much to all of you for putting such a big smile on my face this morning. You are all awesome. And I am so happy that I get to spend my Friday mornings with you. All of you, you rock. And I'd say that, well, I'll say it anyhow. I'm about to say it. Here we go. I'm saying it. If we were all together, I'd be giving all of you big hugs right now. And Dave and Chuck, you can verify this.
Because
I was handing out hugs like candy only a couple days ago. Yep. And for those people where it's appropriate, I will hold the hug just long enough where it feels slightly awkward. Yep. All right. So thank you, all of you. You rock. And everyone that's watching or listening live, thank you for being part of this too. If you've been participating in the chat room, thank you for that. All of you, you are awesome. Everyone that watches or listens to the show later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family. Ewan, thank you just for being you. Mueller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And also for sharing really, really stupid jokes in the Slack room. Thank you.
Yes.
And hey, TSO hosts, thank you for being here and supporting us. Give them some online love. All right. And with that, everyone, join us next Thursday for the big show. Come back again on Friday for the Mac show. Everyone, have an awesome weekend.